We're just finishing off this series, thinking about what are our core values, what are the sort of the foundational principles that we are building on. We started back in September, and thinking about these things that if we put them in place, then and do what they kind of need us to do, require us to do, then our ministry as a church will look like the ministry of Christ, because that's what it should look like. Yes, we are the body of Christ, which means our ministry should look like the body of Christ. So we were thinking about that, and we've been thinking about it for a long time. We've got these sort of five kind of principles, and they'll feature next Saturday morning, and we'll have an opportunity to look at them next Sunday as well. But we've come to the final one, number five, which is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Callie kicked us off last week that talked about fanning into flame the gift of God that is within you. Today, I'm going to, and on into next week as well, we're going to talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit. Callie talked last week about fanning into flame, and I want to ask you this question. Have you been fanning into flame the gift of God that is within you this week? Have you been doing that? Have you been reflecting on what Callie shared, what we thought about in this place? Have you been fanning into flame? Because that passage says to me that we need to do a bit of tending the flame and attention and care. We need to fan that flame, the gift of God that is within you. So have you been doing that this week? Because what we don't want is what happens in this place, where people stand here and speak, we don't want them just to be good ideas and empty words. We want them to make a difference to you. For this one to make a difference, you're going to have to get it. You're going to have to do a bit of fanning into flame that gift of God that is within you through the laying on of hands. This week we're talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that we set this week months ago, and then Amy came along and said, I want to get baptized. And we said, well, the only really week we could do it was this week. And it just all fell into place. We're talking about baptism in the Holy Spirit, and Amy's going to get dunked in this pool, and she's going to be sopping wet. She's going to be overwhelmed by the water. There's not going to be one bit of her that isn't going to be touched by this, infected by the water. So what a great week to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yeah? You're going to be a living, walking display of what we're talking about, Amy. Sorry, put you on the spot there. I'm excited! Anyone else excited? Because God is working, isn't he? God is on the move, and we are going to see it and hear it today. And not just in Amy, in you. This is an invitation to all of us. We can see and we can know and experience his work in us today. Remember, we started coming with that longing expectation, yes? So let's expect him to move. Two passages. I'm not really going to unpack these massively. I'm going to just use them for pointers, if that's okay. Luke 3, 15 to 18. The people were waiting expectantly. There you go, that word again. And were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. Talking about John the Baptist. John answered them all, I baptize with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then jumping on ahead to Acts 1, 1 to 8. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times and dates the Father has sent has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray the simplest, most profound, and powerful prayer anyone can possibly pray. Three words: come, Holy Spirit. So let's pray. And let's say it together. Come, Holy Spirit. Say it again. Come, Holy Spirit. Just one more time. Come, Holy Spirit. We mean our prayer, Lord. We mean it. We are hungry and we're longing and we are inviting you to come. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to recap on the last few kind of weak things from this passage. It's all a bit of a mishmash today. I hope it runs smooth. And we're going to do all that in the light of what's going to happen in the pool in a few minutes' time. This final point that we're talking about, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, is key to the success of all the other points that we've been talking about. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Diminish his part and place in all that we've been talking about, it will diminish the impact and influence that they will that God can have through them. Does that make sense? We need his Holy Spirit to breathe into these kind of things that we want to see, these principles, these foundational things that we want to start building on. If we don't, then we won't see the fullness that I believe he wants us to see. That's why the disciples were told, weren't they? Don't go on without that receiving, that baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the power. He said, don't even try. Don't go. You stay put until you've received that gift. You received what I've got for you. And I want us to get that. This is so important. Holy Spirit, he is so important. And we mustn't go forward without him. Front and center, above, below. We need the Holy Spirit, do we not? The first thing we talked about in this series was about the advancing kingdom. That's a principle that we build upon. The kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is growing. His influence and his impact is increasing. This is what it says in the passage from Acts. It says, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. What you got in these few little verses is like a summary of what went on in those 40 days. And he summarizes it to two things. The first thing he says, he showed that he really was alive. This is important, isn't it? That we believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But after his suffering, his descending into the grave, he overcame every force of power of hell. He conquered sin and death, and he rose. And it's so important. He says, he convinced them that he was alive. And we must be convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. Not just on Easter Sunday. Every day. It's interesting, isn't it? That Jesus' kind of final words, his time on earth in the way he was, you know, in this sort of resurrection form, he told them about the kingdom of God. That's how important it was to him. That's what he wanted to deposit, to leave with his followers, the kingdom of God. He started telling them about it and he started equipping them. He's saying it's with him over to you now. You know, he sends them out, doesn't he, at the end of Matthew, and he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Now go. If we want our ministry as a church to reflect his ministry, then the kingdom of God, the advancing and filling of all things everywhere with himself, that's what it says in Ephesians, has to come again front and center. And I believe the Holy Spirit is absolutely central to that. So that's the first thing we talked about, the advancing kingdom. The second thing is this restored identity. Do you remember? We talked about the prodigal son. Now, we had a great time with Amy talking this week, getting ready for today. It was really, really encouraging to hear about what God has been doing in her life. And we talked about what this pool symbolises and waters of baptism. We talked about how as you go into the water, what we're doing is we are kind of associating, we're connecting ourselves with the death of Christ. How because of his death, what we were, all those things that belong to the old part of who we are, can die with him. And then we talked about how when we come out of the water, it's like we're raised up with him. There's a newness and a freshness of life that comes from our connection, our solidarity with his resurrection. And what we say is what happens in this pool physically in the natural is kind of a sign, a symbol of what happens to us internally, in the almost in the spiritual, in the supernatural. But you know, it starts and begins with this word repentance. It starts and begins with this word repentance. And I want to talk about this word for a bit now. This is the starting point. This is how we set foot on this journey. You know, the baptism that John was giving was a baptism of repentance. Repentance is about turning away from all that we know to be wrong in our lives and a turning or a reorientating ourselves towards God, his will, his purposes, his ways for us. For those who were being baptized in Jesus' day by John, there was also a taking hold of God's plan for Israel again. Israel was called to be a light of the world, and they were called to be part of that journey. When we repent, it acknowledges our need for God. Yeah? When we repent, it acknowledges our need for God. We can't do this without him. It also recognizes the seriousness of not turning from the sin in our lives. Did you hear that? It recognizes the importance of not turning from the sin in our lives. We've got to go forward with him. We don't want to go forward without him, living in a place of distance without him in our lives. And I certainly don't want to face eternity without having taken that step of putting my trust and my life in his hands. So it just acknowledges, this word repentance acknowledges the seriousness and the importance of that relationship with God. You don't want to go forward without him, but we're also saying is that his way is the only way that I want to walk. His way is the only way I want to go. It's a complete change of orientation. It says I want to live from this renewed, restored, Holy Spirit-empowered person within me, the new creation in Christ. I don't want to live constantly bowing to those enemies of my soul. This is about changing the place we live from. It's about living from the inside out, not the outside in. There was a revival in the Hebrides, wasn't there? Was it in the 40s? 40s, I think. Now, after years of fervent prayer, there was a meeting, a group of local church leaders, they gathered to pray, and one of them in the midst of this meeting stood up and read these words from Psalm 24. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from their God, God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. And then one of the guys there stood up and said this. It seems to me so much humbug to be praying as we are praying, to be waiting as we are waiting, if we ourselves are not rightly related to God. And then he lifted his two hands. And I'm telling you, just as the minister told me it happened, he lifted his two hands and prayed, God, are my hands clean? And is my heart pure? But he got no further. The young man fell to his knees. And it started with repentance. Are these hands clean? Is this heart pure? Have we lifted our hands before God and said that? Have we sought to turn from those things in our lives that are just not his best for us? Or have we allowed them to be accommodated and included? Friends, it starts with repentance. It starts with a turning, a reorientating ourselves. I'll come back to that in a few moments, but the next point that we talked about was about intimacy with the Father, about developing and connecting a relationship with God. It's part of this renewed identity as children of God. We're to live in a relationship with Him and let Him shape our lives, walking as that child of God, understanding the authority that is ours in Him. There's that lovely scene in Genesis, isn't there, where it talks about Adam walking with God in the cool of the day. No hindrances, barriers, stresses or strivings. He simply walked with God. Then He made it possible for us to walk in that way. We can come to God without hindrances or barriers because of what Christ has done. When we repent and we turn, we receive the forgiveness that Christ achieved for us on the cross. Who wouldn't want that? And then He invites us, doesn't He? Come. Come and be part of that relationship. Come and connect with that your heavenly Father. It's the relationship that we were created for. Question we asked when we looked about that relationship with God and that intimacy with God was about the secret place. And have you found your secret place yet? Just those moments when you can set everything aside and you can just concentrate on Him. You can say, Father. Those are the moments when we really invest in that relationship. The next priority that we're building on is about being servants of all. James unpacked that beautiful scene of the Jesus washing His disciples' feet. I love this. It's a picture of humility. It's a picture of humility. We want to know what leadership looks like. We want to know what serving looks like. You just read that. It says Jesus knew the Father had put all things under His power and that He had come from God and was returning to God. And what did He do? The power He had. And what did He do? He washed His disciples' feet. He took the form of a servant. But there's something more that He did in that moment. He says, I have set an example. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Do you know, I was praying about this morning. And the phrase that I just, please don't be offended. I felt the Lord say, come on. We've got to get over ourselves and get on with it. We have got to get over ourselves and we've got to get on with it. That's what I felt the Lord say this morning. As costly as that may be, we've got to get over ourselves and we've got to get on with it. So those that are just a little recap. We come to this final point about being empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's number five. And we'll sort of set it all out for it so it's a bit clearer for you to see next week. But in the light of what we're going to talk about, We want to sort of look at that as kind of baptism in the Holy Spirit, as I've said today. It's right that we conclude this series and then launch into how we seek to establish these principles in our lives and our life together. And it's right that we do that when we're talking about the Holy Spirit, because He is central to each of those, as I've said, being kind of part of who we are and us excelling in those areas as well. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In a few moments' time, as I've said, Amy's going to be dunked. She's going to be absolutely drenched. She's going to be drenched. And that is this beautiful picture of baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants to do for us. He wants us to be immersed and overwhelmed by His presence and His power, His Spirit within us. And that's what we need in our lives. Take a look at the first passage. And it talks about two kinds of baptism there. It talks about two/three. Because it talks about a baptism of repentance, but then it talks about baptism with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And then he says, one's coming. He's going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, we could get tied up in knots talking about language and process and how it happens and how it doesn't happen. And we'll have all lots of different ideas about how. But I kind of don't want to go there today. I want to talk about this. We need both. Okay? We need both. We need the baptism of repentance, That's a really important part of what Amy would be doing today. She's saying, I'm turning away from my old life. I'm taking hold of this new life. Okay, it's a baptism of repentance. The problem is, for some people, they have a baptism of repentance and that's when they stop. They don't go on to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. When I talk about fire, for me it's about purity and it's about passion. And I would say it's about power too. Sometimes we have a baptism of repentance, but then we stop. We say, I've got my ticket to heaven. And yeah, you may well have. But what about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire? Because if you don't embrace that, if you don't ask for it, then I think you go forward with a sense of something missing. Because God's intention, his purpose, what he wants for us is to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And it's what will bring life to all these things that we've been talking about, these things we long to see. So I say that because if you, let me just, this is what Jesus says, okay? In Matthew, in Luke 11, it talks a lot there about prayer, but at the end of it, he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So let me say this. Are you asking? What's going to happen? You're going to receive. Are you asking? That's the first question I've got for you. Are you asking for that baptism, that infilling, that overwhelming, that, of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Are you asking? This is what the Apostle Paul says. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled and keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. I believe that's in the present continuous tense. Be filled and keep being filled. Why do we have to keep being filled? Is it because we leak? Do we leak? I know that we can grieve the Holy Spirit and that can diminish his kind of what he can do in our lives. But I want to suggest this, that we are filled and we are keep being filled because we want to live from the overflow, yeah? We want to live from the overflow. Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Who wants to be filled with joy and peace? So who doesn't want to be filled with joy and peace? And God's saying, I'm offering it so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Is it not out of the overflow that we really start to see the kingdom increase and advance? It's out of the overflow that we really start to see that restored identity kind of taking hold and shaping fully who we are. It's out of the overflow that we can live in that place of intimate connection with God and that we can truly start to love one another, even the really, really unlovable people. I'm not looking anywhere. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled and we need to keep being filled. There's another, and God gave me this picture. I believe it's God. He gave me this picture. Okay, and I'm going to share this to finish because we want to get on with the baptism. I just felt that this sort of picture came to mind as why we need to be filled and keep being filled. Okay, so we can be filled, but we can have all this stuff in our lives that just gets in the way. Okay, and what happens is we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another, yes? So we are dealing with all these rocks and stuff in our lives that kind of hinders and holds back the word of God, the work of God. So what we do is we deal with one, I don't know, fear. Because fear can hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, can't it? Because when we're fearful, what we're doing is we're worshipping something else other than him. And then, I don't know, hatred. That's not something that God wants in our lives. Addictions. And then what happens then is God's got more room Maybe this is too simplistic, but God's got more room to move and to fill us as we deal with these things in our lives. So we need to keep being filled as he starts, just continues to minister and move within us, changes us, deals with these things, because we're being transformed daily. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is part one of a two-part sermon, okay? Normally we'd have everyone down the front, okay? And we would be praying and laying hands on people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Might struggle a little bit this week. But next week, okay, next week, at the AGM, can you imagine coming to an AGM and being filled with the Holy Spirit? Come on! That would be like heaven, wouldn't it? Next week. Pray during the week, will you? Pray during the week. Pray during the week. Pray, come, Holy Spirit. I want to meet you. I want to know you. I want you to be fill me, immerse me, overwhelm me. I want you to fill all of me. I want to get rid of all this stuff in my life so you can have rule and reign over every part. Amy, come on up.